Hey Potters, welcome to episode 109 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I'd like to start out by wishing for those who celebrate it, happy Valentine's Day. Also like to wish our listeners in China, happy Chinese New Year.
Yay!
It is the year of Red Monkey. And I would also like to wish them happy National Singles Day. Because yes, that is a thing. Yeah,
that is a thing, and I'm more okay with that than Valentine's Day.
Their National Singles Day is actually bigger in commerce than our Black Friday.
That's scary.
By a large amount, too. It's their big commerce day. So if you're looking for cosplay deals, National Singles Day is a great time to do it.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so that aside, yes, I know there are people who do not celebrate Valentine's Day. I get it. That's why it's giant discount candy day tomorrow.
Darn right. For me, this is Deadpool, Zoolander 2, Walking Dead weekend. That's all this is. This is like Uber entertainment weekend, nothing to do with Valentine's Day.
And if you wanted your Valentine's Day destroyed, you could watch Ruby.
Amber thinks it's destroyed.
Well, no. If you go look at the Reddit, basically, I think I've seen two people out of over 3,000 comments who basically said that it made their day. Every other person had their Valentine's Day destroyed because it had nothing to do with Valentine's and happy lovey-dovey stuff.
I find it hilarious. I actually enjoyed the episode. I thought it was a very interesting and well-designed, thought-out plot progression. I'm sure a lot of people do not agree with me, though.
However, we are not here to discuss the Ruby episode. That was just merely if you wish to have other entertainment options. If you are not at DCC this weekend, or Katsucon, or everything else that's going on this weekend.
There's like 15 freaking conventions going on this weekend. It's a little nutty.
As with every weekend in the United States, there's always something going on. And that doesn't even account for what's going on around the world. All right, so cosplay updates. I see you have stuff in the background.
I have stuff, but it's not really much stuff because all I really did was just pin stuff onto my dress form. Yay! My updates are pretty limited because I'm still kind of in cool down mode from PAX South because I got sick the week after. It wasn't PAX Pox. It was something I'd been building up and it's been spreading around our office at work, unfortunately. So I haven't really been like up and get them with getting cosplay stuff done. Mostly what I've been doing is cleaning out my space so I can actually walk through my cosplay area and pick up things and find my sewing materials. I'm still missing my lacing needle wig. My lacing
wig of lacing needles. Things.
Yes, that is totally what I have.
Terrifying.
Wow, that's just brain and mouth went in two different directions. They did not want to sync up there. That's a scary thought too. Sounds like that would be a good like Halloween attraction, actually. I'm still looking for my lacing needle, which I use for my wigs. There we go. I have no idea where that has ran off to, and I've cleaned up everything so it's all nice and organized and neat again, and whatever. But for this weekend, what I'm going to start working on is I'm redrafting my pattern for my Game of Thrones costume. I actually bought a pattern for it, and as much as I followed the directions, the only thing that really fit well was the sleeve, which is currently attached to the set dress form. The rest of it was way too bulky, and I almost had to take in like 6 inches everywhere. And I was just like, good gravy. I measured everything properly, and I followed the instructions. You suck simplicity. What are you doing to me? So this is why Val does not do patterns. She makes her own stuff because I just do not trust patterns. They're evil. So I'm remaking the entire pattern myself. I'm going to do some draping and mock-ups and all that fun stuff, hopefully today. And this is going to be like a year-long project because there's so much embroidery involved in it. But I want to get at least the base dress done so I know exactly where I'm going so I can see how big I need to make all the embroidery things. Because with the actual character on the show, her shoulders are much broader than mine. So the way the bird spans along her back is going to be larger than along my back. So I want to make sure that I got my sizing correct. It would suck to start doing the embroidery and then try to put it on this thing and be like, oh, it's too big. I can't exactly take out embroidery stuff when you start working on it. It's just kind of eh. So yeah, that's pretty much it as far as crafting cosplay updates. Do you want me to go ahead and do my DCC stuff now, or do we want to wait until after your crafting updates?
There's going to be a segue.
There's going to be a segue. Then there's going to be a segue.
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to show and tell, you know, aside from my lovely, you know, my tablet picture of what I'm working on, because I'm in the patterning stage again, and the patterns are sitting on my crafting table, which is over there. And since I have it clamped down, I didn't want to undo everything and have it fly up in my face to show you guys. I have finished basically Aurelia's side blade. I just have to attach the back pieces to it. And I have to go to Lowe's to get wood pegs so I can attach it together. Because having modular props is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
So I have that finished. I've actually finished cutting out all the pieces on the blade at her back. I just need to spray paint it. And I have to wait a little bit until it's not quite so windy outside for me to spray paint, lest it fly off into the ether that is my neighborhood. Yeah, that would be unpleasant. So now I'm basically patterning the rest of her armor. I did the greaves last night, and I'm actually working on her hip plates right now. They're not actually fully cuisses. They're just literally plates that just kind of sit there. Because magic! Nobody knows how these things are held up. They're just there. So once I am done with that, I'm saving, of course, the fabric portions for last. I already have the fabric. I just have to pattern it out really, really, really fast. Because, yeah, AllCon is coming up really shortly.
Gosh, it's a month away. Very literally a month away. So much yes. to do. So much to
a
do.
Month and 3 days. But at any rate, that has pretty much been the entirety of my personal cosplay updates. I did want to add just a couple of things in terms of cosplay in the news. One is that Cosplay in America actually has a display. Ijin has his book out right now at the LA Art Book Fair. You can find his book with Arcana, Books on the Arts, and it's in booth Q2. So that is if you are out at the LA Art Book Fair this weekend. Next is that Marvel and Capcom actually just came out with a collector's line of what they call roleplay props. Basically, they're nicer versions of the stuff you get at Halloween. So you can get things like a Mega Man helmet, you can get Captain America's shield, you can get an Iron Man helmet. I was going to say helm, but that's Thor. And I will say these do cost quite a bit more than your average Halloween or Party City costume. They usually start somewhere around $100, but they're, again, supposed to be of nicer quality, hence the collector's line attached to that. So if you guys are interested, I know that the article has been floating around. There's one on Gizmodo that you guys can check out. I believe they've started taking pre-orders on Amazon, but they are not actually available for shipping yet. That will come very shortly. And the last thing I wanted to mention, and this is just kind of a PSA from me, and we're actually going to get into the moral of this later, but I just want to say, don't believe everything you see on the internet. Just because it says so on the internet does not make it true, because it might be from The Onion. But if you guys see the Little Caesars free pizza coupons floating around on your Facebooks and all of your different social media, it's not real, guys. 30 seconds of Googling will tell you this. So please, please don't even click on it. Like, don't, even out of curiosity, don't. It's a bad domain. It's potentially phishing. They want your Facebook credentials, which you possibly compromise your account. They want you to list 5 friends who it would then fish. The website is suspicious. Just please don't. Be careful on the internet. You know, be safe. Have safe practice on the internet. Do the safety dance. Just don't click on random things. All right. So, of course, Val was busy this weekend. Unfortunately, I had to stick around the house. But DCC actually had a cosplay contest this year with new judges and run by a new head. Mm-hmm. So, Val, if you would like to share your experience.
Oh, of course, absolutely. So I was asked to come in and help out as judging. They had some last minute dropouts, and I said, sure, no problem. I know the first thing that most people had on their minds was, Val, you said some very nasty things about DCC. Why would you go back? And this is true. I still do not like the con. And even in the very, very, very brief time that I was there yesterday, I was still very disappointed in how things were handled and how things were ran. Having said that, The cosplay group and the cosplay hideaway groups are handled by people outside of DCC's realm. Like, they come in and they take care of everything, and they do a phenomenal job. I have a lot of respect for them. They really care about the community and the cosplayers, and they want to keep the Texas tradition that they started so many years ago at DCC. So I was like, you know what? I love you guys a lot. You guys are awesome. You do some great things for the community. Of course, I'll come in and help out. That is no problem at all. So in my time there, I spent about 40 minutes trying to find a parking spot. That was fun. And another 20 minutes just to get to the convention center. Another 15 minutes just to get up to the cosplay room where we were doing prejudging. Yeah, I'm just, DCC needs to fix their line problem, because this time they had special fancy line where you started outside to wrap yourself inside to go up the escalator, and they led you outside again on the second floor to wrap around to go to the escalator on the third floor, where they wrapped you outside again twice to go up to the escalator to the fourth floor. And I was like, dudes, fix your line issues. Fix the line issues.
They are so lucky the weather was good.
They were very fortunate. It was still windy, though, because I had to hold my cape around me.
True, but it wasn't raining, and it wasn't cold, and it wasn't utterly humid.
Thank goodness, because, yeah, unfortunately, even their side events in October and February, because the big show is in May, but they have two smaller events they hold throughout the year. It just doesn't fit that convention center anymore. And that convention center is not improving their parking. It's not going to get any bigger. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse, because directly across the street from it, they're building this new entertainment plaza. So it's going to have businesses and a shopping center and all that. Parking's going to get horrendous. It's just not a viable location for DCC anymore. And
they
unfortunately
charge appropriately.
Yeah. They charge a pretty penny. It is way more expensive to go to DCC than it is to go to ACON. It's ridiculous.
Kids, take that as a lesson. When you complain about the Hilton Anatole's parking prices, think about DCC.
I would gladly pay that $20 a day knowing I have a parking spot and I can just walk right into there versus 40 minutes of me driving around trying to get a parking spot and then having to walk 20 minutes to the convention center. It was ludicrous. They had a shuttle bus, one shuttle bus that held maybe about 10 people and was running every 15 minutes. That doesn't help anybody, guys. Thanks. So yeah, I didn't get any opportunity to actually go and walk around on the floor. I was hoping I would get there early enough to at least see other things and take some photos for CosPod. That did not happen. The second I got my badge, I was like, I should just head upstairs to prejudging because I'm going to not be able to get there in time. but for those who don't know, with comic conventions, it tends to be very laid back and relaxed. It's more about the fun of dressing up and trying to be the character, not so much about craftsmanship. So our prejudging was about an hour and a half, maybe. And they had five judges, and they split us up into two groups so we could judge two people at the same time. If we felt like there was somebody who had a really great costume and we wanted the other set of judges to see them, we would tell them to hold on. So that way second group could see them, and then we would swap cosplayers and all that stuff. It was really efficiently ran. We had about, I want to say, 45 people signed up for the contest. So yeah, we were able to get through them pretty quickly. And it was myself, Peyton, who you guys have known, and we've talked about her dozens of times. We're going to try and get a hold of an interview with her, which she's totally up for, by the way. we had April from Azure Props, and then two other people who I've met at DCC in the past who have really great craftsmanship skills, but I don't think they actually have like a cosplay page or persona, so I won't give their names out just for their safety and whatnot. But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun joking with ourselves and joking with the cosplayers. A lot of them were just like, you know, yeah, I'm here because I just want to walk the stage and just have fun. And I was like, cool, great. There's the door, but yeah, you look awesome in your costume, man. I mean, that's really what kind of the fun of it is that people just go up and do their own thing and have
Did
fun with it.
Come in for prejudging?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes, we got to speak with him about why he chose his wonderfully creative and unique costume. It was an interesting 3-minute discussion. And he knew that he wasn't going to win anything, but he was like, I just want to make people laugh. And I was like, you've done a good job, sir. And he was hysterical on the stage. It was hilarious. He It got to the point where Ben was just so mortified that he had to leave and walked out of the room entirely. It was hysterical. It was all played
Ben
up, of
was the
course.
Host, by the way, for those who
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah, Ben was the MC as well
DJ
as...
DJ Bentendo.
Yeah. And he also helped organize the contest this year. He was initially retired, but they kind of pulled him back in because it's one of those things where it's like, he's part of the show. He's part of the aspect. He's what makes the DCC show so much fun. And it's like, he tries to leave, but it's like, no, you have to stick around just a little bit longer, please, Ben. We must have you train someone to take your place because you're just that awesome. So really, I think the fun of it is actually sitting at the judges' table with the rest of the audience and seeing the show, because what DCC does is they allow the contestants to walk the stage and actually have a hold of the microphone and actually like be their character. And Ben likes to have fun with them and joke with them, sometimes antagonize them and tease them, but all the contestants know that it's just for fun, so they tease him right back.
No two other cons. If you're going to do this and let the people have the mic, you have to be able to trust them, because that is why certain cons do not let their contestants speak on the mic. And I have been to contests where that rule was broken and it did not go over well.
Yeah, it can be a very tricky situation. And it's one of those things where I think DCC's rapport has been built up enough over the years that people have come to expect it. So they know, okay, you have a chance to use a microphone. If you don't want to use it, that's cool. But if you do...
And they know to be mature about it.
Exactly. And there have been people who have been pulled off the stage who were not acting appropriately, who were saying things that they shouldn't be saying, who were taking 5 minutes on the microphone. And it's like, that's going to happen, guys. So just be aware of it. Just say your thing really, really quickly. Be cool. Be funny. Be in character. And then walk off the stage in like 20 seconds. No biggie. But it makes for some really memorable moments, which is why Puppy Monkey Baby was so funny. Yeah, that's who PMB is. Somebody made a Puppy Monkey Baby costume. And he did it as a dare. And he says he does not back down from a dare. And I was like, all right, well, good on you, sir. So, yeah, we ended up picking a group from Borderlands who they tried out last year, but they didn't win anything. They came back this year with some upgrades to their costume, but they also made a life-size Claptrap that moved. He had, like, puppet mechanics in him, so his arms moved. He could talk and all that stuff. And they even went the extra mile instead of doing shading on his actual like body frame. They actually went through and were like, okay, we want to get gaffer's tape and we want to make sure that he has like the right bandages and stuff. So it's not like a flat piece. He's actually three-dimensional. So I was like, okay, that's really cool too. So they did an amazing, phenomenal job. I was really impressed by them. A lot of lights, a ton of armor. There was some Diablo armor up there that was really kick butt. It was shiny in all
the
right places.
All the recent game releases.
Yeah, so much of it, so much shinies everywhere. And they were really cool. I was mentioning this to Amber earlier, but there was a young girl who's 14. She made a Hearthstone costume, which is from the World of Warcraft Blizzard series. It was her very first costume. And she did full-on armor. She did lights. She had clothing pieces and bits. And I was just like, dude, you're only 14. This is your first costume? Dude, I was not doing this stuff when I was your age. I was worried about trying to make an A in my AP classes. Like, how do you find time for this madness? So that was cool. We definitely gave her an award. I think we gave her best craftsmanship. Pretty sure that's what we did. Yeah, best craftsmanship. She earned it. And then you have like the funny mashups. Like we had Mad Max and the Joker from Batman. He was a Morton Joker. It was hysterical. It was all about being shiny and chrome and then using said chrome piece and making fart noises with them. I mean, as Joker would do. He was hilarious. And I think what's also fun about these particular contests is that you get to really see people be ridiculously creative on some stuff. We gave the creativity award to this young woman who made a Wonder Woman dress entirely out of soda taps. It was awesome. And I mean, she even made like a little poof in her skirt, so it looks like it just looked like it was like almost Sailor Moon like, where it was just very poofy and bouncy and floaty. And you would honestly not realize that it was soda taps. It was just very, very cool. And I love seeing stuff like that because you don't usually get that at anime conventions. So yeah, the contest this year was a ton of fun, top notch. I can't thank Ben and the rest of the crew enough for giving me the opportunity to come in and help out when I could. And I'm like, you know, if you guys ever need help again as a judge, sign me up. I will be there. Because as much as I dislike the con, I still want to help you all out because this is just a blast. And I'm glad that they can keep it like that with the Texas community. I'll be sure to include many, many photos in our edit of this because I have a ton of photos. And we did have a very, very special MC show up about halfway through the show, just for a couple of minutes. He goes by the name of Robbie ML. You guys probably know him from a couple of CW shows. That was fun. That was entertaining. He was having a very hard time pronouncing some of the people's names.
As happens.
As it does happen. Ben had to walk him through, like, okay, here's their first name. Here's their costume. Here's their category. This is how you read it. It was really funny, but he had a lot of fun with it. He was in high spirits, so that was fun too. Yeah, that's all I got. And puppy monkey baby.
Speaking of cosplay contests, we're hosting one at AllCon.
Oh, that's your segue. That's your segue. Okay.
That's one of my segues.
There you go. Segue.
So if you guys have not heard about it by this point,
which you should,
you've probably been living under a rock. No, please head over to AllCon's website, allcon.net or allcon.org. Both go to the same spot, /cosplay.html. You can see our rules. You can see our judges. You can see our awesome prize pack, which has actually grown by one this week. Dharma Trading graciously opted to donate $20 gift certificates to each of the prize winners.
It's going to be huge.
Dharma Trading is... They do a lot of the inking and dyeing products that cosplayers use whenever they need to turn things colors. They also sell various paints of different kinds. They actually sell fabric themselves if you would like to dye it yourself. They are a fantastic company. Both of us have shopped with them before. And they're not paying us to say this. We don't get sponsored directly by companies. We just happen to be patrons. And we would like to thank them very much for this generous donation so that each of the prize winners will be getting Dharma Trading gift certificates.
Our prize pool keeps growing and growing, and it's so cool. So between Dharma Trading, we now have them. We also have Arta Wigs, and we have Epic Cosplay. I'm just like, dude, we're scoring big time on this one. It's just like, guys.
Those are the sponsors. That doesn't account for our prize budget with which we purchase things.
We're still working on adding more stuff. We need more stuff. I mean, the fact that we've got so many sponsors now, we're like, great, we can get even cooler stuff for our winners. This is awesome. Guys, sign up today.
And bear in mind that the sign up is just so that we have preliminary information so we can plan. If you want to change your intro later, if you want to change your costume later, if you want to change any of that, if you want to join in with a group, that's perfectly fine. But we ask that you guys sign up in advance so that we can plan for the number of people that we think we're going to have. So if you're thinking about entering the contest, go ahead and sign up early. If you need to drop for any reason, if life gets in the way, we get it. We're cosplayers. We understand. But we would rather you sign up early than not sign up at all until you get to the con. That way, if you have issues, they can be worked out before the con.
Because who knows?
So please do consider signing up.
Yeah. I mean, we may magically get like 60 people signing up the day of the con. And it's like, at that point, we can't take in anybody else. So.
Right. Because we do have time limits that we have to work with. So far, we're not putting a cap on the number of contestants because we don't feasibly think we would reach that theoretical cap. But that may change in the future if we suddenly get a slew of signups all at the same time. Because we want you guys to have a good contest too. This isn't just for us. We don't want it to go for hours on end and people get bored, people get restless, because we know people bring in young kids in there. We want everybody to have fun and we want it to be efficient for us and the judges and the audience and the helpers. So please help us help you guys by signing up. Help us plan.
I think we were really efficient last year too. So I think we're fine. We were ridiculously efficient. We started on time.
Okay. I think I was going to say that I was going to say that before, but I didn't get the opportunity, so.
Oh, that was funny. I think what we need to do is get you that cosplay fire shirt, and I'm going to have to make one for myself too. We'll wear that day of.
Yes, my birthday is coming up shortly, so.
Woo,
Turning another year older. Oh, God.
32. Ow. Age is just a number.
All right. So, anyways, I did note online that there is a new magazine called Cosplayology, and it joins the large menagerie of cosplay publications that we already have out, even including Cosplay in America, of course. And what this basically says is that cosplay has seriously gone mainstream. We have media left and right trying to cover it. We have even what you would consider mundane publications like Forbes interviewing the WCS team. So at this point, I think cosplay is starting to hit the normal stage. And as evidence of that, we actually have specialty fabrics now for cosplayers. Cosplay fabrics, as they call them, even though basically, as we know, any fabric can be cosplay fabric if you use it for cosplay. But one of our more famous representatives in the cosplay industry, Yaya Han, did put out a line of fabrics. And I'm sure, again, unless you live under a rock, you have seen this story being tossed around on Facebook everywhere that she came out with her own personalized line of fabrics. And this ignited like the most massive firestorm I have seen since Gamergate on the internet.
Don't say that. Oh
I
my
know. That
God. Don't compare that to Gamergate, please. Oh my God.
was just in terms of the sheer internet doing this to each other,
I need to
which
find
they
a.
did. If you've read the posts, people very quickly divided themselves on one side or the other. And have very strongly held opinions about the matter.
Yeah, clearly they did. I'm hiding now. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
No, we're going to give this the civil treatment that is drama free,
I tried to be
that is
drama free.
factual. It is factual because we do this on the show. We do not promote drama. We actually try and lessen drama if at all possible.
Yeah, I tried. That didn't happen in my case, so I apologize to the universe.
So factually, and I am going to keep certain names out of this to help
Thank
lessen
you.
the drama because
Good.
I know what I'm doing. But basically, Yaya's fabric has started to hit Joann's stores because she is marketing them through Joann's. And they had told us that they would be available, about February 2016-ish, is that when they'd start hitting stores and then the remainder of her collection would hit in March. So basically, they're coming out in segments, just like they do for anything that comes out new. So that said, people have been going out to the stores, taking a look at the fabric, laying their hands on it, seeing how it drapes, seeing how much it costs, that sort of thing, as fabric designers do, as cosplayers do. We want to know about this stuff. It's a new product. What does it do? How much does it cost? What are its capabilities? What can I use it for? That sort of thing. So people went out starting to answer all these questions. And there was a story posted on the internet that potentially someone had had an allergic reaction to these fabrics. And unfortunately, this kind of harkens back to the whole be careful of what you read on the internet because it may not necessarily be true thing, is that basically everyone jumped on the bandwagon saying, oh, this was premeditated. And it came out later, after some research had been done, that it was not in fact an allergic reaction, but that people were basically jumping on this story partially because of the name involved and partially because basically they wanted to get out frustration. Understandable. But it just basically blew up into an attack on this person who had posted the original story as well as Yaya, just because there were misconceptions going around on the internet as they do on Facebook. People were posting things that may have been more opinion than fact. And so, as the facts actually came out and they were posted publicly for people to see who had not actually done their research, they started realizing, okay, this is the facts. This is the truth. This is how it actually is, as opposed to this is what I read on Facebook 2 days ago. So basically, the facts are the fabric is treated with some things. Like any other fabric you can buy at Joann's, the coatings are not specifically meant to cause allergies or allergic reactions. It is known what these chemicals are and what they do. And again, they are very common to other fabrics. A good portion of her fabrics are synthetics. So if you are allergic to synthetics, then that is something that you should probably research in advance. As with any fabric, the fabric does cost generally between the $15 and $20 range per yard. Again, factually, this is not necessarily out of line with other fashion fabrics. And factually, yes, you can wash them as long as you read the instructions on the bolt, as you should with all fabrics. So basically, the long and short of this is, yeah, it's got Yaya's name attached to it, but if it had anybody's name attached to it, I mean, Nate Berkus has fabrics with his name on them too. Discount the name. Whatever personal feelings you have about the name, that's fine. We're not saying you can't have an opinion. You can. Freedom of speech. Oh, I'm being corrected. The fabric actually ends up ranging between $20 and $40 a yard. Again, we want to be factual. So you can have your opinions. That is perfectly fine. But if you're going to form an opinion, we encourage you to have facts behind it so that you can make your purchasing decisions with the truth and with statistics behind you. If you want to buy the fabric, great. There are Joann's coupons that will help with the price. And we highly suggest that you get a sample and test it before you actually make a full-blown costume with it. If you don't want to buy the fabric for whatever reason, you are totally within your rights to do that, and you shouldn't be criticized for it. We just encourage you to check your facts, preferably with multiple sources, preferably with the original source, before you form an opinion and start jumping all over anyone on the internet, whether it's Yaya, whether it's the person who posted the original story, or whether it's just someone who disagrees with you. Please don't jump on anyone, guys. Our community has enough drama already. We really don't need to invent more. There, was that civil and good?
That was awesome. First, thank you very much for saying that, because I'm so tired of having said that for the past week. Like, my brain just cannot even form words around it anymore, and I'm just at the point of saying, don't stop being mean to each other. I'm sick of it just as much as you are. Just stop.
And we get it. There are people who don't like Yaya.
Yeah.
That's okay. You don't have to like her. You don't have to buy her stuff. Just kindly don't jump on other people who want to.
Yeah. Just be an informed consumer and research. Back up your research with at least three sources, because it is the internet and anything could be misleading. For all the good that the internet gives us, there are a lot of people who take advantage of it. And it's so easy, especially on social media, for wrong information to spread around like that, that you don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. And then that sucks. But yes, please just do your research. Don't assume the first thing that you see on the internet is correct. Or seconds, possibly the third also, depending. Just don't trust the Onion, mostly. If you don't know that the Onion is a satirical website, you have issues. Just point that out. But then don't be afraid to ask questions at the same time. Talk to your friends and be like, hey, have you guys had a chance to see this fabric? What do you all think of it? Because what I've been finding are the people who have been really negative about her fabrics have either not seen it in person, or they're basing it off of a couple of photos that they've seen online. So they haven't actually touched or felt the fabric. And it's like, well, it's kind of a biased opinion then, because you're not actually there looking at it. That's why I went out to the store for us, because I wanted to see it. I wanted to touch it. I wanted to know what the heck was going on with it. So yeah. Yeah. I just feel so bad.
There are people who are going to see this as us promoting Yaya. That is not our intent. We're simply seeking to dispel the drama and the the lack of truth around the whole matter, because I know that I've read several reviews already of her product, and I won't disclose who wrote them. But basically, you can tell a massive difference between those who are writing reviews from just having looked at it and those who have actually tried to use it. Because I think you'll find that just because you look at a fabric in the store on the bolt, well, after you've washed it and actually played with it, you'll probably have a different opinion. So it's worth reading several reviews and make sure that in the review, the person has actually done something with it instead of just looked at it. Because I can go to Best Buy, I can write a review about a piece of electronics, but it's not going to be a very helpful review if I haven't actually taken it home and run it through its paces. And I'd say this about any kind of fabric, not just Yaya's fabric, anybody's fabric. There are multiple fashion lines of fabric. This is why you get samples, swatches.
Swatches help.
Play with it. Yep. Wash it, wear it on your skin, as long as you know that in advance there are no chemicals in it that will cause you to have an allergic reaction. Obviously, if you know you're allergic to it in advance, don't put it against your skin.
Duh.
Safety first. But as long as you don't know that there's anything in it that will cause you health problems, go ahead and, you know, take a small 1-inch square and put it against the back of your hand for a little bit and make sure that you're not going to have a reaction to it. Because it would really suck to make an entire costume, to put all that work into it, get into it at the con, and then 2 hours later you suddenly have hives. Which does happen to some people. It really does, and it can be life-threatening. So we're just saying, play it safe, kids. I mean, those of you with allergies know how to deal with them at this point.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's also important to note, and I actually want to do a segment on this, as odd as that may be, read the labels when it comes to cleaning and caring for the garments, because that was the big issue, and that's what ended up happening. The person in question who ended up having the skin reaction did not read the washing instructions, and they completely messed it up with the fabric, and it caused it to mold when it wasn't supposed to. And it's really just simple as proper care and handling, which could happen to any number of pleather fabrics that are not Yahya Han related. It could happen to spandex. I've done it before on accident with vinyl, and the second I pulled it out of the washing machine, I was like, oh, this is bad. And it smelled putrid, so I immediately threw it out, and I was like, there goes that and my favorite pair of pants, because I screwed up both of them.
And they have those instructions for a reason, because these synthetic chemicals they're using have reactions to each other. And just like if you were going to take a drug, you'd want to know what else that drug interacts with that you're already taking for health reasons. Well, likewise, if you're going to put this stuff up against your skin for 16 hours a day, you probably want to know what it interacts with. And that's why they have washing instructions. This is why, as a kid, they tell you don't wash colors in hot water. They'll run.
They'll run.
Well, it's because of that reaction with the heat. So, you know, do your homework. It takes you all of 5 minutes. You can either take a picture of the bottom of the bolt. I mean, we've all got smartphones at this point that have cameras on them. Just take a picture of the bottom. And if you don't have a smartphone, which there are those who do, that's fine. Bring a little note card, little index card, you know, one of these things. Take it and just scribble down washing instructions, care instructions, and any other details about that fabric that you might need. And then keep this with the fabric itself. Either pin it or, you know, clip it to the fabric so that you don't lose it and get confused. So if you don't know how to wash a fabric, accidents happen that way.
And heck, even employees at the store will do that for you too. If you don't have anything handy, they'll write it down for you because you're a potential sale for them. They're more than happy to help you out. It doesn't hurt to ask.
In or fact, if you were probably already going to be a sale for them.
Yeah.
All so skills. They want you to come back and be another one.
You could always Google it too and get 3 sources to make sure you're looking at the right thing.
If you buy it from a retailer that has an online website, if you go on their website, generally under that fabric listing, it will also have the washing and care instructions.
Exactly.
The internet is your friend.
Most of the time, and not generally for porn.
As long as it's not free Little Caesars pizza coupon.
God.
Those are not your friend. Do not click on them. XYZ is a terrible domain. Don't.
Don't. The internet is just, oh man. Again, for all the good that it tries to do, there are people who take advantage of it. And unfortunately, the innocents get caught up.
Of the internet and of you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so it did come out last week at some of our local Joann stores, and I happened to see it, and I was like, I'm going to go out there, and I want to take a look at it, because I want to actually touch it and feel it and mess around with it, because I'm curious about the fabric line and what it could be, you know, opening it up for potential cosplayers. So I will say that I'm not a big fan of the price range, and I understand why it's that price range. The fabrics are customized. They're very special, and I think what they're trying to go for, this particular market, are the people who either don't have access to a lot of fabric stores in their region, or for the convenience factor. It's because it's Joann's, they're right there. They don't have to worry about waiting a week for an online order when they need the fabric now. They can just go drive down the street and they got their fabric. Cool, good to go. And I felt like some of the fabrics are really interesting and fun to look at. Like the specialty pleathers in particular, a lot of them have this really cool raised texture to them. And I was like, you know what? This could be kind of cool as an alternative for armor. Like you could use it as a covering over like styrene or even like, heck, even over craft foam. Because it just has that look to it that you're like, bunch of spiky metal things, but they're actually not spiky and they couldn't hurt a fly because you push on it, it depresses the fabric inward, take your finger off and it goes pink. Like I could seriously just do that the entire day and make a Tumblr video of me just poking the fabric.
And it has to have that sound effect.
Pink.
It'll go on our Hangouts soundboard.
Ooh, yeah, I like that idea. That would be awesome. So yeah, that is the more expensive fabric. That's the $39.99 end. You will be paying a pretty penny for it, but I actually like the backing to it. The backing was kind of soft. I don't know if it wasn't a wool backing, that's for certain, because if it was wool, I would have started itching immediately. Because that's the other thing I did was I made sure to put my hand and test all the fabric. I stood there being the creeper for about an hour as I fondled it lovingly. But that's what I do because I have very sensitive skin. And I need to know if I'm going to be using this fabric, is it going to irritate my skin? And I can usually tell within like 5 minutes whether or not that's the right fabric for me. So there I was, petting the fabric all up and down the line. It was just weird. And I'm glad no employee was around to see this because it probably was really, really creepy. On the other end of the spectrum, when I looked at their spandex and the stretch pleather, I wasn't all that impressed. I think the quality was a little bit better than what the Joann's version of spandex is. The nice thing about it is that it's opaque. So you don't have to have a lining behind these. That is awesome. The Joann's spandex is not opaque. You have to have a lining, which means you have to double up on the fabric and that costs more money. So in that respect, technically the Yahya Han fabric line is a little bit cheaper because you're not having to double up. That's kind of cool. I didn't really like the texture or the consistency of it, and I felt that the stretch was a little bit more than what I'm accustomed to. The stretch on some of them was up to 8%, which that's a lot of stretch. I know 8% doesn't sound a whole lot, but that's a ton of stretch. Usually spandex, you get about 4 to 6%, and that's more than enough for what you need to do with your project. I also didn't like just the way that they felt. It didn't feel like the right quality for how much I was paying for it. And I personally think I'm going to continue using my own line, which I go through Spandex House, because I know what they're like. I know how to work with them. They're really top quality, and I can get them for a little bit cheaper. Yeah, I have to wait about a week and a half for shipping, but I'm okay with that. If I needed something on the fly, I'd probably go to her fabrics, but it's just not. Yeah, texture was my big thing on that one. I also wasn't a fan of the brocades, and I think it's because the colors and the patterns. They were just a little too 80s day glow for my taste. I've seen some people who absolutely love them. And the quality of the brocades are actually really, really nice. I mean, I would easily use those up like no problem, but I just didn't like the way that they looked for my personal taste. If she has other styles that come out in the future, I would definitely look at them. I think they're kind of cool. And then the only other one that really stood out to me, and I'm waiting to see the other colors come out, it's called Ultra Preem. It's basically neoprene and spandex merged into one, and it just looks and feels really, really cool. I could see this being like the new fabric for bodysuits. That's what it looks like Bubblegum Crisis or an Neon Genesis Evangelion costume. Like this would be the ideal fabric for that. They only had the blue color out at this particular store. They have other colors on the way. Like there's going to be white, black, red. So you get the gamut of standard colors. I really can't wait to see those because I just want to play with them. That fabric is about $29.99 a yard, which is a little pricey, but you can use coupons. Not that big of a deal. But I think overall, as a whole, I may not be a fabric expert, but I've worked with enough of it over my lifetime that I'm like, you know what? As a cosplayer starting out, these fabrics are really darn cool. And the fact that we have them in a location that's convenient to us says a lot. You know, this is something that we didn't even have 2 years ago. It's really difficult to find stretch pleather at a local store if you don't have a fashion district or a fabric district. If your options are Hancock's, Joann's, and Hobby Lobby, you don't have stretch pleather available to you. Now you have it down the street. I think that's pretty cool. That's really darn cool. It's not stretch pleather that I would personally use. I felt that the fabric was lacking in the quality that I personally like. And it's just because of my personal taste. That doesn't mean it's bad fabric. I just don't personally like it. I'm going to continue using my other supplier. But yeah, I was actually fairly happy with the options that were presented. I think some of the, like the specialty pleather is going to be very specific for certain people and certain costumes. You can't use it on everything. It'll be cool armor and lots of pokey. But yeah, I think, you know what? I think the other thing, oh, the stretch suede. I totally forgot about stretch suede. I didn't know this thing existed. I had no idea stretch suede was a thing. And here is a line of it through Yaya Han's fabric. Oh my God. It's actually really cool. Really soft, like supple soft. Like you want to like roll around in it soft. It is ridiculous. I'm going to end up using this for boot covers in the future because I did not know that this was a thing that existed. And now I need to have it in my life. And the stretch is phenomenal. Like I could imagine a yard going and lasting me for like 5 years because it's got a ridiculous amount of stretch to it. So yeah, I think the quality is actually pretty good in certain areas, not so good in other areas. I've heard some people who've used it who are having problems with the backing on the pleather actually peeling off at the corners. Surprisingly enough, that's fairly normal with stretch pleather. Once you stitch it all down, then you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, I'm kind of like 50-50 on it. Certain things I would use, certain things I wouldn't use. And I think it's going to be one of those things where if people go out to the stores and actually see the fabric, play with the fabric, and get a sample, they'll have a much better opinion about whether they like it or not. There you go. Coffee
also,
time.
This is my own personal opinion. This is not the opinion of Cospod. This is me, Amber, speaking myself. I have already seen posts on forums who have mentioned that there will be bias if they do not use her fabrics if she is judging a costume contest.
Good gravy.
Guys, let me be really blunt about this. Again, my opinion. You should never feel obligated to use anything in cosplay. Don't feel obligated to make it light up. Don't feel obligated to make it make noise. Don't feel obligated to make massive suits of armor. Don't feel obligated to use Yaya's fabric in front of her. If you make a fan-freaking-tastic cosplay out of whatever materials you want, including soda tabs, and you do a great job, good on you. That's all that matters. So don't think that you won't win a prize if you don't use her fabric. It's okay. You don't have to. You use what you want to and need to use according to your budget, your time, your skill, and your needs. That is the important part, and that's what judges look for. They don't care what brand you use. If you use thermoplastics, we're not asking if it's warble. We don't care. As long as you do it well. So that is my opinion.
Most of that Diablo armor yesterday that I saw was made out of craft foam. Like, it doesn't have to be fancy thermoplastics to get kick-ass armor. It can just be craft foam and cardboard.
Yeah, if you want to win something, you don't have to use Warbla.
No, you don't. You really don't.
None of these are the be-all, end-all product. None of them. There is literally not a product right now on the entire cosplay market of any material we have ever used that is the end-all, be-all perfect product. So don't feel like you have to use these because they're the silver unicorn. They're not.
There is no silver unicorn. I hate to break people's hearts.
They're
but
still
Valiant
looking.
Does not exist.
They're still looking. They're trying really hard to get the silver unicorn of cosplay materials. And I think the closest they've ever come is probably Friendly Plastic. But even Friendly Plastic has its downsides. It's not a silver unicorn. Doesn't stop them from keeping a try, though.
I know. They can keep trying. That's fine. But you don't... Okay, personal opinion time now. Yay! Well, I'm going to derail this. Since I've actually worked with Yaya Han in the past, I have judged a cosplay contest with her before. I've seen how she judges. I've seen what she looks for. She doesn't give two craps about the material being used. If it's used in a unique and interesting way, then she'll be like, ooh, that's cool. I didn't know that you could do that with cardboard. Otherwise, she doesn't care if you use her products or not. All she cares about is, are you cosplaying? Are you having fun? How did you make the costume? That's it. And you know, she doesn't care what the products are. Just, guys, please, seriously, stop being so disingenuous and shallow. Just stop it. You're making the community look bad.
I hate to say it, but you know, at some point we may want to revisit the effect that competition is having on the community. Because we're getting into this hyper dramatic stage where every little thing suddenly matters big time. And I think we're kind of slowly losing sight of what the whole point of the hobby was supposed to be, which is fun.
Yeah, everything has definitely changed since social media, and it's definitely been heightened to a new level because of social media. It's changing and altering in very odd ways. And I think it's mostly, and people can feel free to disagree with me on this, that's fine. This is an old fogey making her opinion, is that it seems to be more along the younger crowd. Because I've noticed that people within our age range, and maybe it's just because of the group of people we know, or I mean, because we have some fairly level-headed friends who just do it because they want to do it. They don't care. But it seems like the younger crowd in particular wants the same cosplay fame as Jessica Nigri and Yaya Han and all of these people, that they want to go to that next level. And for them, it's about hyper-analyzing every single little thing and picking on each other and tearing us all apart. Where the rest of us are just like, we don't care. We dress up because we want to dress up. We don't care about the specifics.
And to some extent, I mean, I will be very, very blunt again on a personal level. I'm jealous of those people. I am insanely jealous of some of my friends who have success in cosplay. And I've said this publicly as well, that I am insanely jealous of those people. But to be the bigger person, and I think the younger generation needs to kind of sit down and have a think about this, is that you can either let that jealousy drive you to pick apart your opponents, or you can use it to grow, to learn from these people and say, well, if I want to achieve that level of success, what do I need to be doing? What did they do that made them successful, and how can I do it? Yeah, success is dependent a bit on luck, and it is dependent a bit on looks. But that aside, there are people who are not models who are very successful in the cosplay industry. So it's not entirely due to one thing or another. 99% of it is because these people worked their butt off, quite frankly. So you kind of have to take that jealousy and that feeling sometimes of an inferiority and use it to achieve an end of good. It's okay to be jealous. We're human. It's okay to covet that success. Use it to improve yourself. It takes a bigger person to do that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of looking at it. Just taking those feelings and seeing, okay, what can I do to improve on my cosplay? What can I do to make it better? What can I do to really throw my all into it? Because sometimes that's how artists come up with their greatest work, is because they're jealous of something. So having this past week happen to me and seeing my post reach, oh God, I just know. I prefer being the unknown. I like being in my own little corner, making weird and ridiculous things that nobody really cares about, just have a couple of friends comment, that's way more fun to me. This past week has just been like a beat down, and I could not keep up with this every day if I had the opportunity to. No, thank you. I'm good. Just want to go back to embroidery and painting. That's all.
I want to go back to making cool things.
It's cool to me. I think that's what's funny, because I look at my costume list and I'm like, I don't do popular characters. I always pick these random NPCs that nobody gives two flying flips about. I just make things for me. I don't make anything for anybody else because nobody cares about it. I mean, God.
And you can make things to get attention. That's kind of part of the point of cosplay. At the same time, you can't let that override your sense of having fun with it.
Yeah.
If you stop having fun with a costume, don't wear it. And I say that because you don't want to associate that frustrated feeling with that costume and with that character. It's a very psychological thing.
It really is.
And we just... I hate to say it, but in some ways we need to be more adult about it in terms of maturity. But in some ways we really need to be less adult about it and go back to the whole kid-like sensation of just... screw it all, let's just go out and have a blast.
You know what, now that you say that, I actually am kind of glad that I had the chance to judge this weekend at Dallas Comic Con, because that's essentially what everybody did. It was them not giving two flips. They just wanted to dress up in costume and have fun, and it helps to be reminded of that sometimes, because you get so serious and wanting to get this taped out that it needs to be perfect, or I need to do it this way, or oh gosh, I got to get this fabric just right, or all hell's gonna break loose. And it was just people out in costume because they wanted to wear one, and they just wanted to have fun and beat other nerds and talk about their favorite geeky thing. And I kind of miss that at like a lot of conventions. So that was a lovely reminder. I think I needed that.
That's kind of what we expect at AllCon too.
Yeah, thank God. I love AllCon so much. I love it so much. Even though we're going to be ridiculously busy and so much to do, I love it so much. It helps. That helps.
It's okay, because the busyness pays off.
It does. It really,
all that matters.
Truly does.
Yep. You guys will probably see us do a something of a media blitz here in the next week or so to kind of, again, broadcast the signal for people to sign up for AllCon. Even if you're not going to sign up, please feel free to share our posts with your friends who you think might be interested. Even if they're out of state, just as long as you know they're coming. Just share our post, give them the information, let them make up their mind. We will have a table at AllCon with information that we will be manning as well. So you can always come up, ask us questions. You may want to bring a spare costume if you think you may want to compete and sign up on site. That is perfectly fine too. If you guys have any questions in the meantime, you guys can always contact us on our social media, which is located here.
All over the place. Yeah.
Yes.
We totally have an Instagram now too. So we're like all over social media. We are social medias all over the place.
And we are on the Google Podcast portal. They just haven't opened the portal yet for the public. So as soon as they've done that,
eventually,
then you can also hear us via Google Music.
Woo!
So basically, we are spreading our reach as far and fast as we can. We thank you guys for listening and downloading the show, of course. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, compliments, anything that you would like to send us, you can always message us on social media or send an email to podcast@cospod.org, and you will probably get two responses as usual, because that's how we roll in this game.
Usually it's because Val doesn't look to see if Amber has made a response and responds anyway.
And likewise, I can't see if Val has made a response.
There you go. Special treatment from Cospod.
Indeed. And thank you for all of our new listeners around the world. And we will see you guys in episode 110. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.